It's my pleasure to welcome you here to the Clark Howard Show. Our mission, to serve and empower you so you make better financial decisions in your life. Hope you had a great weekend. I'm ready to help you save some money on your banking today. Lots of info on that's coming up later in this episode. First, I want to talk about what's going on when you pull into the gas pump. You know, it's been ugly lately. And in particular, I paid attention because poorly timed, I made a prediction a couple of months ago that gas prices, at least in the immediate future, were going down. And they did the opposite. And as many of us have experienced around the country, gas prices have continued to escalate. And there are three factors at work right now that are pinching your wallet. First, we're driving more. I saw federal driving data recently because I guess I have nothing to do in my life that I looked at how it had bottomed out April of last year. Driving stayed substantially depressed. And then as soon as the vaccines were announced, the amount that people were traveling, the trips they were taking, all that steadily increased. So demand for gasoline has risen. Second, we have been a massive energy producer in the United States from the Canadian border to the Mexican border in this swath from North Dakota to Texas. And a lot of exploration and drilling and production all ground to a halt when, if you remember, during the pandemic, there was a brief period that people were having to pay people to take oil from them because the world was so awash in it. So people shut down their production and exploration. This didn't just happen in the United States. It happened elsewhere. And then you throw in that OPEC plus the evil Putin Russians are manipulating supplies right now in the world to try to push prices up. So we've got these three factors all affecting your and my wallet. The good news is that as the price of oil has risen per barrel quite a bit, up 50%, the oil producers in the United States are out and active again. And the amount of activity going on is rising weekly. We are going to generate significantly more oil every week. It's already started, and we will continue to do so. So our ability to depend on ourselves for the lion's share of energy we need, and until the pandemic, being a net energy exporter instead of importer, that sleeping giant is waking back up. So we're going to feel pain at the pump for a number of months. And then by sometime in the summer, historically, July 4th is the point at which prices top and start coming back down. And this year may actually match up with historical. And so the pain you can measure in months rather than a likely long-term higher pricing trend. And it's time for your questions. And Krista, what are you starting with?
Deborah in Georgia says, I was declared deceased by the Social Security Administration in 2020. I fixed the issue, I thought, but when my husband and I filed 2020 taxes electronically, they were rejected, stating that the Social Security number of the spouse was that of a deceased person. Help, I am not dead.
Deborah, I am so sorry. This is a problem that once it gets into the database of the Social Security Administration, becomes hard to unwind. In addition, because of the pandemic, staffing is more haphazard than normal with Social Security and the IRS. What I recommend in this case is go to your congressman's constituent service office. Every one of the 435 members of the U.S. House have offices in the local district where they help constituents with problems with the federal government. It's part of the strategy of the first job of every elected official, and that's to get reelected. So they send an electronic transmittal to, in this case, probably Social Security and the IRS, called a congressional. And when those get there, there's an office inside every federal agency that gives higher priority to complaints filed through a congressman's office than they do when one comes straight from a citizen like you and me. Try that. See if it doesn't get it solved. If it doesn't help, come back to us, Deborah, and we'll see if we can work some magic for you.
Jonathan in New Jersey says, I retired from the military last March. That same month, I was hired by Amazon in New Jersey. I was working in a fulfillment center at first. Now my job is virtual and not tied to a particular location. Do I still need to pay New Jersey taxes? I'm still an Alaskan resident.
So, Jonathan, there are millions of people across America who are in the same situation as you are, working remotely for an employer. It is an unbelievably difficult tax situation, as New Jersey, with pretty hefty taxes, wants its claim on you. And I neglected something first to thank you for your many years of service in the U.S. military. You living in Alaska, which, because of the oil we were talking about a few minutes ago, very lightly taxes its citizens, it's much more favorable for you to be treated as an Alaska resident. The first thing is, what's Amazon doing? Are they withholding state tax from your paycheck as if you are a resident of the state of New Jersey? If it's showing New Jersey, then the burden of proof is on you with the IRS to establish that you are an Alaska resident who should not be subject to state income tax versus being a New Jersey resident. If Amazon is reporting you as an Alaska resident, not withholding New Jersey taxes, then it's easy. If, in fact, Amazon's reporting you as Jersey, you want to hire a CPA who does tax or an enrolled agent to do your tax prep this year, because they'll know how to handle the IRS and the state of New Jersey. Well, it's really the state of New Jersey you have to deal with. That you want a full refund from New Jersey of the tax paid there as a non-resident not earning that money in the state of New Jersey.
Kyle in North Carolina says, I'm trying to help my mother prepare for retirement. She's currently in her 40s. She's raised four of us alone with no college education. About 5 years ago, I started planning for my retirement and bothering her about her plans. So far, I've been able to get her to refi the house at a lower interest rate and on a 15-year mortgage, so it will be paid off when she's 60. This year, she got about a $5,000 a year raise. I've convinced her to finish maxing out her 401k match, and I want her to save the additional $2,500. My immediate thought was a low-cost Roth. She won't call people and get help because she feels like she doesn't know enough, so then she sounds dumb on the subject. It's falling to me to help her as the oldest. Where should I direct her to save the difference to help her continue to have independence in retirement?
Kyle, thank you for first recognizing what your mom did raising the four of you. She sounds like an amazing woman, and it's great that you recognize and appreciate that, because as my late father used to say, one parent can take care of 10 children, but 10 children can't take care of one parent. We seem to have amnesia about what our parents did for us. So in this case, this is how you can help her. Simply help her open a Roth IRA at Vanguard and put her money, since she's in her 40s, put her money in the Vanguard 2040 or 2045 target fund. It's based on the year of likely retirement, and that Vanguard will handle adjusting the investments over the years as your mom gets closer and closer to retirement. All she's got to do is put the money into the Roth each year. It'll grow tax-free. It will be her money to spend tax-free in retirement. Ultra-low cost, no commissions. The Vanguard Target Retirement Fund fits her perfectly.
And Lindsay in Georgia says, I recently turned 30 and have no dependents. I'm single and unlikely to have children or other dependents in the future. Should I consider a long-term care insurance plan, term life insurance, or neither?
So neither at this point, and I'm very impressed at how at 30 you're planning for the future way far off, and you don't know what path your life will take over the years. Who knows? You could end up falling in love with someone who has their own children, and you end up really being involved in their lives. And at that point, maybe there's a need for term life insurance for the person you fall in love with or for their children. It could be any circumstance like that. So you should not consider long-term care insurance for decades. Probably sometime late 50s would be when you do that. The big thing I'd want you doing right now is concentrate on what I was talking about with Kyle, and that's saving money to take care of your later in life financial needs, like doing the Roth IRA. Doing it now pays off so big later on in your life. And I got a word of warning for you coming from the head of our Team Clark Consumer Action Center. I also have great news for your wallet in terms of banking. It's becoming easier and more profitable to move your money. One thing I'm so proud we've offered now in our 29th year of providing free advice to you, where you can talk one-on-one to get answers to your questions. The Team Clark Consumer Action Center was an idea I had back in 1989, was finally able to make it come alive in 1993. And ever since February 1st, 1993, we have provided free advice for you one-on-one. And the director of our Team Clark Consumer Action Center is here with me. Hello, Lori.
Hi, Clark.
And Lori, you and Krista, to your right, both people who had to fight your way through coronavirus, and you are now really healthy.
I am. I'm happy to say.
But it was tough for you.
It was. It was. I was sick with a fever and complete and total exhaustion. It was towards the beginning of the pandemic. I actually had two negative COVID tests, and nobody wanted to see me because at the time I was like a scarlet letter. So, but I recovered. It took me about a month to actually get my energy back.
And our volunteers that we have that are go through an extensive training process and then answer questions are generally older, many retirees. So we had to shut down our physical center, pivot to answering questions using modern call director software, where the calls are routed to wherever people are in the country who are volunteering answering questions. And we have not missed a beat through the year of coronavirus. But there's been a lot of very, very specific problems that have occurred with scams and things like that that somehow tangentially relate to coronavirus. But there's something in particular you want to give a heads up warning about right now.
Yes, Clark. We've had several calls recently from individuals or family members calling for those individuals about recurring payments on their credit card related to either a what they thought was a single donation or also with a product. And we have had those calls about products long ago, and this is something that's resurfacing. And what I have found is sometimes these companies or charities are having it pre-populated, the recurring payment, and you actually have to opt out. So they don't even realize that they have made a recurring payment until they see their credit card. And sometimes they don't even notice it on their credit card
for months.
So the other thing is, it may not just be a recurring payment. It may be that you have to uncheck the box to make sure they don't store your credit card, or that you don't want all the emails that they're going to be sending you. So I encourage everyone to be vigilant and really look at all the boxes before you actually click the, you know, the send after you make
on
payment.
On a purchase, on a donation, anything like that. Everybody's trying to get you enrolled in some way. And I never store a credit card. You know how over and over again, retailers, airlines, whatever, will try to get you to store a card with them? Don't do it. And don't allow automatic charging. Don't allow yourself into subscription programs. And the big thing you said, though, that you and I talked over each other about, because it's long been a problem, and that is that people don't notice the charge. Why don't people notice the charge?
Because they're not looking at their credit card statements line by line.
They're not looking at their credit card statements at all. You're giving them too much credit.
And Clark, actually, a couple of the callers were caregivers or for their elderly parent or even a spouse, and they didn't notice the charge until, you know, a couple of months later. And then it becomes an issue getting the money back because you have
passed 60 days.
Exactly.
Yeah. So the lesson here, in addition to being careful what boxes are checked, what solicitations you're going to get, what things you've enrolled in, is please look at your credit card statements each month, line item by line item. It won't take you more than a minute to do so when that statement comes in. The other thing you need to look at, your bank statements each month and see what's on them. Because by the time they call one of our team members at the Team Clark Consumer Action Center, well, usually it's past too late to get back a lot of the money. So how do people get to the Consumer Action Center and when are we available? Well, we're available Monday to Thursday, and we'll go back in a while to our Monday to Friday pre-pandemic hours. But we're available Mondays 10 to 7 Eastern Time, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday 10 to 4 Eastern Time. And you can see the phone number and how to contact a member of Team Clark, and this is completely free, at clark.com/CAC. And you can give the number, Lori, because if somebody wants the phone number, you can just give them, they can skip all those steps and just call.
Yes, the number is 470-284-7137.
And by the way, this is a long-running scam. That call is $5 a minute billed to your cell phone bill. No, it is a free call. We pay for everything. And there's how much is the delay from when somebody calls in till they're talking with a Team Clark member, wherever in the country that Team Clark member is when that call transfers, is it a second? Is it 10 seconds? How long does it take the call system we use to route that call?
In general, it's less than a minute. But Clark, now with our new system, you can leave your number and we will call you back.
And we really do. It's not like the businesses that say they'll call you back and don't.
No, and as a matter of fact, many callers are surprised at how quickly the callback occurs.
Very nice. So I got something not so nice. Do you know the complaints we get about banks have been rising steadily through the pandemic? The banks have not had a good pandemic. And from the customer no service standpoint, they've been terrible to deal with. And the number of banks in the United States has shrunk and shrunk and shrunk. And now we have four giant monster mega banks that control half of banking in the United States. And people's dissatisfaction with banks is so high. And the reality is change is only going to come from without, not from within. The banking sector seems culturally incapable of becoming a customer-focused industry. So what's happening is outsiders are coming in and making a difference. Square, you know, the Square Up people, they're launching their own bank. SoFi is expanding all the banking they do. And T-Mobile, the cell phone carrier, if you have your cell phone service with them, you can have T-Mobile money. Just like all the other online banks, These are all about offering you a straight up, simple deal without gotchas, without ripoff fees and the rest. If you have access to using one of these alternatives to the traditional stuck in their ways, anti-consumer, gouging you kind of places, you should look at these alternatives. And I know for people under 40, older than 40, it's hard to deal with the concept of no physical branches. People under 40 generally don't care. If you are older, give it a try, and you'll find you really don't need that stinking, rotten, lousy bank anymore. If you have a decent amount of assets, look at the two giant discount brokers, Charles Schwab and Fidelity Investments, as a place to do your banking. They run circles around the traditional banks and how they'll treat you as a banking customer. And it's time for your questions.
Okay, Ryan in Pennsylvania says, I'm 27 years old and recently discovered my employer offers a Roth 401k option through Fidelity. I currently contribute to my traditional 401k, but I would like to switch based on the advice that you offer on the show. I'm wondering what will happen to my pre-tax dollars that I already have invested. Will they be transferred to my Roth? Will that amount be taxed when I go to withdraw down the road? Also, will my Roth 401k contributions be matched by my company?
Ryan, I'm so glad at 27 you're going to pivot to the Roth 401k. So let's deal with the last question first. The company still matches you just like before. Second, on the money you already have, the $70,000, I'm so excited at 27, you already have $70,000 in your 401k. That's fantastic. That $70,000 stays in the traditional 401k. It means that you'll, from here forward, be tracking adding money into a post-tax Roth 401k, and you'll have money in the pre-tax 401k. The pre-tax 401k money, all of it and what it earns, will be taxed in retirement. The employer match is treated as a pre-tax 401k pile of money. So you'll have both. But moving forward at your age, the benefit to you is gigantic over time, being in that Roth 401k rather than the traditional 401k.
Paul in Pennsylvania says, I recently downloaded an app called Wish to my phone because they offered a free kitchen utensil for creating an account. The Wish app essentially sells a lot of random and seemingly low-priced stuff, some interesting, some useful, and some just plain odd. The app gives me a weird vibe that it might not be in the up and up, so I'm hesitant to purchase anything because I'm afraid to provide my credit card information. Have you ever heard of this, and do you know if it's legitimate, safe for me to make purchases there?
Wish is completely legitimate. A lot of the merchandise you'll get from Wish is so low quality that even for me, who says I'll accept lower quality for a lower price, it's a mixed bag with Wish. Some of the delivery cycle times are quite long. A lot of the merchandise may be coming from very remote corners of Asia. It used to be all China, but now it's more spread out. Wish really does have a lot of merchandise in a lot of different categories, generally cheaper than you can find stuff anywhere else. Sometimes cheaper is good with Wish. Sometimes cheaper is just cheaper. And I want to thank you so much for being a part of Team Clark. Remember, you got the Team Clark Consumer Action Center here to serve you. And if you enjoy our podcast, please subscribe, review us, and share us with your friends.